And now it's time for Queer Talk. Hey, Carter, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Ron. Thank you.
And who do you have with you today?
Well, I am welcoming back a guest today who I'm going to describe as the epitome of the Renaissance person.
No. Meaning I can't focus? Thanks so much.
Welcome, Barb Nelligan.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Now, I mean that as that person who's, you know, understands so many things in the traditional Renaissance sense. You're involved in a lot of projects and ideas and a well-rounded person. That's where I'm going with all that.
Well, you're sweet. You know, a lot of people call it ADD, but that's fine. You know, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's so good to have you back today because it's going to make me just giggle my way through the rest of the day. And it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful way to go forward. And so, Barb, we're going to let folks in on your history a little bit.
All right.
So you're a Tennessee girl born and bred?
He grew up born in Chattanooga and grew up there and went to college there.
Oh, okay.
So I was there all through the end of college, which was a little longer than the 4-year span that a lot of students get through, going back to that, you know, sort of ADD situation. But so I grew up in Chattanooga and went to college there and then came to Nashville for a couple years. So,
right. And you got the Nashville bug. You've been away, but you came back.
I did. Well, I was in Nashville for a couple years, and then I moved up to Chicago for 5 years and did. And then, you know, because I was really, you know, wanted to perform and was working on comedy and stuff like that. And so I had a lot of friends that I'd gone to school with who'd moved to Chicago, and they were doing improv and just all kinds of stuff up there. Right. And I was like, well, you know, I was getting ready to turn 30. So this would have been 1990. I was getting ready to turn 30. And because I'm old, anyone out there, go ahead and do the math. It's fine. I just turned 50. That's fine. I'm not sad about it, really, you know, a little creaky, but I'm not sad. But anyway. So I moved to Chicago then, and I stayed there for 5 years and really, you know, did a lot of improv and comedy and worked on that. But then, and I love Chicago, but then I just, you know, I missed home, so I came back, and then Amy and I met, and you can interject at any point, because I can go on and on about me. We can do this all.
That's why you're here,
darling. We have 28 minutes to talk about me. All right,
and we've only gotten about 3 so far. So you came home and met the love of your life.
I did.
Bells chimed, and you filled the U-Haul.
No, we were actually, you know what? Now, we took it actually very slow. We did. You know, it was like a week, really. And so in lesbian time, I'm kidding. We really did take it so, because it was, well, you know, and at that point, Amy's little girl was 5.
Right.
And so, you know, that slows things down quite a bit, because she was very careful to make sure, we were both very careful to make sure that this was, you know, this was going to be a lifetime thing before we started, you know, it just makes things very different. So once we figured out, no, this is really it, you know, then at that point, then, when Avery was little, I mean, this is an awfully, now we're getting all serious. We really came to talk about a comedy show, but I'll get serious.
Children change your life, don't they?
Well, I will tell you, once I came to terms with being gay, just, it never occurred to me in a million years that I would have the chance to be a parent. I just never dreamed it was possible. And some of that's generational. I mean, now it's like, no big deal. But,
right.
You know, this, you know, I'm 50, so that, I mean, now I think if you're 25, 30 or whatever, there's a lot of those examples out there, and there just weren't for me. I mean, I just didn't think that was possible. And then when I was in, you know, then when it was possible, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to take it, you know, really put myself into this wholeheartedly. So I didn't want to travel. So I stopped doing comedy and stayed here in Nashville and worked as a writer on anything they would pay me to write. Did some, you know, some TV stuff, some great, really, you know, stuff that aired on CMT, you know.
They've kept people locally employed for a long time.
Listen, this particular thing was a little documentary, Country's Most Shocking. You know, it was about the Lynyrd Skynyrd plane crash and just all the horrible drug overdoses and all that. It was very tragic, but it was very interesting to write.
True stuff that they don't talk about on the bus tour.
That's exactly right. That's right. When they're going around on the bus and saying, hey, that's George Jones, you know, and you're like, now, George.
Now, you might hear about this on the pink bus, but not on the
The pink bus.
Yes.
Oh, they are hilarious.
Aren't they?
They are good friends
of the community, too. So
oh, my God. They're hilarious.
So while you were sitting here being a parent and chilling your heels locally, this is when your activism kicked in, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. You know, I mean, well, I mean, again, I mean, these really are getting serious, you know.
I told you when I came in here that I'd known you for years and didn't know a damn thing about you.
Well, we really did come talk about a comedy show, which is going to be Monday, but we'll talk about that. So a lot of that, you know, I mean, I grew up, boy, I had a lot to work through. I mean, very devout Catholic family. I mean, I was born in 61, so I mean, I was in grade school and high school through the 60s and 70s, and you know, they're just, it's funny because I just wrote a little article about it, but you know, I mean, I grew up in a don't say gay environment that Tennessee legislators could only dream of recapturing. You know, and I had a lot to, you know, there was really a lot to work through. But when I find, and that's where Amy is so different. I mean, we're the same age, and she grew up in, like, really small town Indiana, but she was always out from when she was in high school. Just once she realized that that was the situation, then she was just out.
Right.
And she, now this is real small town Indiana, and this would have been the mid-70s. So this is...
Well, this town, she couldn't have kept it a secret anyway, right?
Well, you know, it's interesting that,
I grew up in that town.
Did you? Yeah. Well, but you know, have you met? I mean, you know, Amy. She might have. You know, because she's not really your flannel kind of girl. You know, you wouldn't. She's got a little more style than most. But you know, she tells a story about being at lunch in high school and sitting down, and everyone at the table getting up and leaving. You know, once she came out, and I said, you know, and asked her, I was like, why? Why didn't you just pretend like the rest of us? You know, what are you, crazy? And she said, well, that just, you know, that never occurred to me. Why would I have done that? And, you know, I got this story. You know, we'd been together probably 7 or 8 months. And, you know, I thought, well, here we've been together 7, 8 months. I'm completely in love. And I'm just now finding out that she's absolutely crazy. You know, that, like, oh, great. You know, I got another crazy one on my hands. So, you know, but anyway, all that to say, this all comes back to then, once, you know, I was back in Nashville, and just, you know, just realizing that, you know, she had so much courage that it then made me think, well, what about all these kids like me that just don't know anybody like her, or don't have anyone in their life with that kind of courage? It really kind of made me think, well, you know, now I can both, you know, as far as my own personally being able to pull it off, have the, you know, whatever to do it. And, you know, I can be more active, and it is important that, you know, for kids and everybody, you know, just to, you know, see if we can't sort of change the culture a little bit.
All right.
And so this led you to actually even chairing the HRC dinner.
I did. You know, and we were talking about, I can't remember if it was 2000 or 2001. I really can't remember. I can't. In the early 2000s, somewhere around the turn of the century, Keith Merrill and I co-chaired that together. And it was a great, you know, it was really a great year. It was an interesting year because it was a year that when we were putting the speakers together for the dinner, Al Gore had not announced that he was going to run for president. And so HRC helped us get Howard Dean, and he was running for president. You know, back then he was like a big deal. So we'd gotten Howard Dean. Well, then all of a sudden Gore announced that he was going to run, and it was just this really tricky, you know, tricky political situation because for Tennessee politicians, because you don't want to be all, you know, it's sort of, it created this whole thing, you know. Then we would talk to a number of politicians like, this has nothing to do with being HRC. You know, we've got to really tread lightly here because we can't look like we're supporting Dean when we're, you know, we're, and it was all very interesting. But it was a great dinner. KT Oslin was there, and she was awesome.
Wow.
And yeah, it was so that was fun. And hats off to anyone who chairs that dinner, because it is a darn lot of work. But they got one coming up on the 25th, February 25th.
Right. Yeah, the next one's right around the corner. So that information is still floating out there, and tickets available, right?
Yep. Yes, it is. And, you know, there's always so many places to get the information. But I think if you just go to hrc.org, and then I think there's places like local community, and you can click on that, and then that'll take you to all
your
links
down
about the dinner, stuff like that.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, it's just a fun event.
Cool. Yeah, so that's coming up February 25th, and we certainly let folks check on that. But coming up a little sooner, Monday. Is I'm going to just love this. HRC's presenting the queens, queer queens of comedy.
Right. And it bothers you. You have a hard time saying comedy because there's no
I have to think
Q
about
after
it.
The Q. Yes. I know. It's the Queer Queens of Comedy, and it's Q-O-M-E-D-Y. I didn't create the name. The tour's been around for 6 years. The fact that there's no U in there drives me crazy because I was like, I don't even know how to say it. But anyway,
yes.
It's the Queer Queens of Comedy. And so, yeah, there'll be it. So we're doing a run. We're doing Louisville tomorrow, Nashville Monday, Atlanta Tuesday, Birmingham Wednesday. But so we'll be in Nashville Monday night at 7:30 at Zanies. And you can go to zanies.com and just click on the date, which that would be the 23rd. And it'll come up, and you can get tickets, and you should get tickets because it's going to be hilarious.
Right, right. So it's 7:30 show, one show that evening.
One show, yes,
yeah.
One show.
Okay.
And it's not just me. I mean, you know, I didn't create this tour. This tour has been around for 6 years, and so now I've just gotten on board, and we just happen to be in my hometown, which I'm pretty excited about. So, but there are other. It's not all about me. So it's not. We know it is, but I need to say that on the radio, right? It's
right.
Not all about me.
You
know, no.
You have to throw some acknowledgments to Poppy Chaplin, who's running this program.
She's the producer.
It's her baby, right?
It is her baby. She's produced this tour. Like I said, it's in its sixth year. And, you know, it's pretty interesting. You know, I think probably any comedian that you would recognize as, you know, sort of an out lesbian comedian has worked with this tour, you know, and she'll, it's like we're talking, you know, like she'll come to a city and bring two other comedians. And then if she comes back to that city 2 years later, she'll bring comes back to the city, then the next year she'll bring new comedians. And so, you know, it's just a great, it's just a great group of people to work with. And for me, a great group of people to know.
Right,
you know,
right.
And it was just a fluke that I got connected with him. It's been a very interesting because, you know, I realized.
Yeah, now do tell the story of how the manager was in the right place.
Oh, well, I don't even have a manager. This was some random booker, you know, who usually books me in like Kiwanis clubs and, you know, places where it's sort of like you walk in, you say, now, where's the stage? And they're like, oh, sweetheart, I'll be right over there. Just give us a minute to move the salad bar.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I work in these big clubs. But so there's a booker out of Louisville. His name's Tom Sobel. And he's been very good to me. He's the first guy that ever booked me, and he booked me the most of any booker out there. And it was Booker. Why are you laughing?
It's just, you know, it just sounds so cute.
Is it? Oh. The ADD. See, now, if you're listening, we'll put a chart together. I know I'm jumping around, but that's sort of how the shows go. But anyway, so Poppy Chaplin is putting this tour together for the season. So they were coming through Dayton, Ohio, the Queer Queens tour, and they the Queer Queens of Comedy. Call your mother. It's the Queer Queens of Comedy. We put a U in there. It hurts
me.
And
you land in Dayton, Ohio.
Carter, it hurts me that there's no U in there. It hurts me. But it hurts me. But they didn't ask me. They didn't even know me then. So anyway, so they needed a so the Dayton guy called Tom Sobel and said, do you know someone that can get here without it costing us $1 million and for travel? Because my fee is actually $1 million. But the travel, no, that was not going to be bad because I'm in Nashville. So so I drove up and we met and we had a, you know, a real good show. And then
you passed the audition.
I passed the audition. I did. I passed the audition. So, and HRC is actually the official tour sponsor for the Queer Queens of Comedy for this year.
Right.
For 2012. So it was sort of interesting.
Which you had a little help with, right?
Well, not in them being a sponsor. No, that happened way before me.
Oh,
no,
okay.
That had nothing to do with me. I can take no credit. And you know, if I could take any, I would take most of it, really, is what I would do. But I cannot take any credit. That was independent of me. But what is true is that because I have a good relationship with HRC here, then I was like, well, hey, you know, you ought to bring this tour to Nashville because I know Zanies is always very supportive of the community. And, you know, so they helped us put this whole thing together.
Well, so, yeah. And now, and there's one more person touring with you. Now, this is
Vicky Shaw. Yeah.
Now, this is where I have to admit that I am not up on my lesbian stars.
Well, that's all right.
And she's done a cruise ship is the best I could tell you. And
that Vicky, she's real funny. She did one of them ships.
And that's all I know.
Oh, Lord, but it sank and they told that captain, get back on that ship. Do you know, this is for when that cruise ship crashed, every comedian was like, oh my God, who was the comedian on the ship?
Right.
You know, and when we don't know yet. But, yeah. But she's done a few things more than the cruise ship, you know. That Vicky, she was on a boat. She is funny. Lord, she is funny. No, she's like a big deal, you know. She's been on, well, she and Poppy. But
this is why I'm so embarrassed, just because I should know.
Oh,
at least.
Honey, who watches lesbian comedian says, where do you watch them? You know, if you're not in that, you know, it's fine. I probably don't know all of the entertainers, you know.
Okay.
I think that's a safe bet, don't you think?
I'm sure.
That's
I'm
fine.
Sure.
But within, you know, for people who do follow lesbian comedy, which is a little bit of a niche market, let's just say, you know, she's a big deal. She's a, you know, she's, they, like I said, they've got the Showtime. Both she and Poppy have a, been on Showtime. One Night Stand Up on Logo, and both of them do Olivia and Atlantis cruises, which is really sort of an interesting, this is important. So I think all three of us, you know, we have an equal appeal to men and women, you know, and that's important because,
right.
You know, I mean, I think a lot of men might hear Queer Queens of Comedy and think, well, it's just not going to be funny to me. And that's not true. They will laugh, you know, so we love the men. And straight people too, you know what I mean? And that's another interesting thing about this group of three, you know, this group of three comedians, you know, it's not just all, it's just material about life, you know, that's just sort of the universal truths. And I'm certainly on, you know, there's certainly material about being gay and certainly about being a gay woman, but there's more, there's stuff for everybody.
Right. And I'm sure the news in the last few weeks has given you something to throw out.
Oh my God. I can't.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And you know, it's, and so when you know, and that's what, if y'all want to follow me on Twitter, it's Barb Nelligan, which is my name with one L, or Facebook, Barb Nelligan Comedy. But I went through this thing like 2 weeks ago, and I had spent like 3 days just doing snarky comments about the politics, and I just had to stop. I was getting so depressed.
Right.
You know, and then, and so I tried. It's like a terrible crack addict. I tried, and then Newt Gingrich gets all self-righteous about them going after him for having an affair. And then I'm like, okay, well, how am I supposed to stay out of this conversation? Because that is just, you can't even, it's like that's
on a silver platter.
How does that even, it's like, how do you do that? How do you try to take Bill Clinton down based on an affair and then it's unfair for them to go after you for it? But see, here's the trap. Now we're totally getting off the subject and I am sorry, but here's a trap I fall into. I start thinking, well, this should make logical sense. And whenever I think, well, this, you know, I can find some logical sense in this, my brain, it just shears. My brain plates just shear and there's an explosion in my head and it, I have to stop.
And you have to stop. Oh my goodness.
But now here's, you know, and gosh, see, now you've opened up a hole. I know, you shouldn't get me started on this. But, you know, it's sort of like we are basing an entire election on people's sexual past.
Right. And, you know, as much as we run around denying this for years, it's what motivates everybody.
Well, it's sort of like, and I actually have this bit, and this actually happened to us. It's a long story, but we got time. How many minutes we got?
Oh, we got plenty of time left.
Okay. Well, so when the flood happened, a couple, you know what this? I know. It's a couple years ago. The flood happened. So we.
Oh, that flood.
No. The Nashville flood. Not like the Ark. There was no Ark. Not that flood.
Well, you know, we were jumping around there. I was really going for that flood.
No. Not the Noah flood. The Nashville flood. You know, where all the guitars came.
Much smaller in scope.
Yes, it was smaller. Thank you for getting that joke. The guitarist came 2x2. I thought that was funny. But anyway. Anyway, so we were helping. We went down to Bellevue and we were helping. And someone that we sort of peripherally knew, but, you know, there were all these people helping in this lady's house. And, you know, just a lot of them just total strangers. And you realize we're pulling stuff out of her closets, out of her drawers, you know. And I turn to Amy and I'm like, okay, you know, no strangers are going to go through our house, you know, because, and so I do this whole thing of like, you know, everybody's kind of got that box that they've hidden somewhere. And what, this is radio, so I'm not going to go into anything about what.
Just what's in that box.
But everybody has that box. And so my new thing is when you run for president.
Right.
And I don't care where you fall, the first thing you have to do is just show everybody what's in that box that you have either up in your closet or under your bed or whatever, and let's just get that out of the way.
Right.
And we could save a lot of time trying to pretend that, that it's just not, you know. And Santorum, I think he probably,
I'm sorry,
his
I don't
box
have any
has
wet
the
lights
big,
on me.
He's probably has the, his is probably the biggest of them all.
Oh, yeah, we're just waiting for, no. Just not going to.
We should get off of politics.
We should, because it's
fun.
It's liable to splatter all over the place.
Well, and it's interesting. But it is interesting, though, because I don't. I used to do a lot of political stuff in my show, and now I don't do so much specifics about politics, but more about how people, how voters and people interact with politics, like that kind of stuff. It's sort of like, why are we making a decision on these guys' sex lives?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it is all guys now. I'm not being sexist. It is. If it had been 3 weeks ago, I'd have said all these guys and this woman. But
right. Right. Because it's changing fast.
It is. Well, and it looks like Gingrich might win today in South Carolina, which is you just here's what I and here's what I think. I love America's Next Top Model. You know, and there's all, I do, I love it. Do you watch that show?
No, I don't have cable.
I love that show. Well, you know how there's always the really confrontational, irritating, crazy person, and you know that she should get voted off, and you know, like two or three times in a row, she should have gotten voted off, but you know they keep her on the show because for ratings, and it creates drama. And that's why I think Gingrich, that's how I feel about Gingrich. It's like he should have been voted off, but he creates drama.
He's the that one, because Ron Paul's not crazy enough.
Well, you know, Ron Paul, I think he's consistent.
He is consistent.
And he's crazy. He's consistent, and he's not just saying what... I don't agree with everything. Now, there's a lot that I do, but I don't agree with everything. But I do think he thinks what he thinks. He believes what he believes, and he's going to say it and do it. And if you don't like it and don't want to vote for him for it, well, then fine. And I can stomach that a little better than, you know, well, what do you want me to say? And that's what I'll say.
Right, right.
So.
Well, there's plenty more fodder on that to be spinning out next year.
There is. But, and that's the other thing, though, at this show, you know, at least I don't, and I've heard Poppy's act, and I don't think Vicky does. No matter where you are in the political spectrum, you will not get beat up at this show.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So this is what's been really interesting. I'm going to jump a subject. You were talking about how touring and what of a practice this has been, and your perspective has changed a little while. You've been doing these little tours for a while, and then now you're on this good-sized tour, and how do you, you know, you were talking about your... things have changed, your delivery, your program.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, it's interesting because when I started back in comedy, when we were trying to think, this probably would have been 3 years ago. And I knew that I had done some groundwork and all that, but I was ready to start back. And so at that point, you know, I talked to Pride, and it was Pam Wheeler and Keith Hinkle and Rob Sikorsky. And I shouldn't have started with names because I'm going to forget somebody. But they, you know, we talked, and they were like, okay, well... and I said, I'll just do an hour show, then I can tape it, and then we'll give the money to Pride, and it's kind of just a win-win all the way around, and we did that. And a lot of people haven't seen me since that show, and I'm really hoping that, you know, they see a big... I look back at those tapes and think I have the greatest friends in the world. I really do, you know? I mean, it's just... And you get better out there, you know? It's you just, like, Well, what's today? Wednesday night, I was at the Harris Casino in Cherokee, North Carolina, and it's off season. So the casino wasn't super crowded. There's this little lounge that people who are on a losing streak wander into because they want a break, you know, and there's a comedy show going on. They don't know who you are. They don't care. They're not, you know, they just want to laugh, you know.
Can you paint that any darker?
Well, but, you know, it's so interesting. It was a little tragic, you know, but... You know, but, you know, your job is to make them laugh, you know, so you kind of bring it, you know, and really, you know, and then it's sort of, you know, and I look at it like, no, sometimes I go in these places and the audience will be small or in a situation like that. I'm like, nobody wants to be part of a small audience where it's awkward.
Right.
You know, they want to laugh. And so then it's my job to get them to do that, you know, so, but all that to say, those experiences... Here's the thing about comedy, and anybody that knows me knows that I always look for shortcuts, you know. I always want to skip steps. And in any kind of career, anything I'm learning how to do, I think, oh, I can skip all that. no shortcuts in comedy. There just aren't. There are just none that I have found. And I've looked, believe me. You know, and this is the way to learn. So I'm excited about being back in Nashville and people seeing, you know, the hopefully a little more skill, a little more material, a little better at my craft.
Right. So Monday night, the hometown crowd can check out how much you've grown.
I hope so, which is nerve-wracking, you know. It's sort of like I'm not nervous about Louisville, Atlanta, or Birmingham. I'm sweating blood over Nashville on Monday because I want it to be so good. You know, plus my family's going to be there, like my brother and my sister and my nieces and my nephews and, you know.
Oh, good. You made sure the room sold out.
I did. Mostly to family members. So you guys need to buy tickets because it's really going to be all Nelligans, really. You know, now drink sales will be good if that we know that. So
right.
That's good. So.
Okay. Well, we're looking forward to Monday night, Barb. So I'll have to hustle on that, get my ticket too. Okay.
When you can go, so Zanies, 7:30, you can go to Zanies.com or, and I shouldn't even say that, Queer Queens of Comedy, but it's Q-O-M-E-D-Y.
Yes. .com,
and you can get information there.
Great. Oh, well, I'm so glad I got to be the one to come in and talk with you today.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I really hope that we covered all the pertinent information. I didn't just ramble on.
You know, I think we've got plenty out there, and certainly if anyone missed it today, they can check out, because with this lovely little bit we've had will be archived on Queer Talk at Podomatic.com, so they can catch anything they've missed for checking in with us later.
Okay.
I've got something to ask, actually, Barb.
Ask me.
We talked about lesbian comedy and women comics, and just for people out there, are there any, like, generic hack jokes that lesbian comedians use?
Oh, that's a great
clean
question.
Ones.
I'm thinking.
Like something that you hear is like, oh my God, that's so hack.
Well, the U-Haul.
The U-Haul?
That, you know, I could go a while without that again. The U-Haul. But other than that, so there's U-Haul. Let me think. I can't think of just like a stock joke that people tell, but always the U-Haul, always the, oh my God, I had to wear heels that night and I almost fell down. There's that whole bit.
Right.
And,
nothing with candles and incense or.
I actually have a song that I'll do, Monday night, and it's going to be a hit. It's called Born Loving Flannel. And, there's a little mention of patchouli in there.
Okay.
Patchouli candles. There are.
There is
a little mention of patchouli candles. But yeah, there is, yeah. So we need something on par of like the straight guy having to go shopping with his wife joke.
Right.
That whole bit that you hear all the time.
Right. All right.
So
okay.
I'll think on that.
Okay.
U-Haul, yeah, candles,
Pitchy.
Flannel.
Mm-hmm. Melissa Etheridge.
No, I haven't heard him. Nobody talks about her anymore. Where has she been? Power tools, we talk about that. And I love power tools. I mean, that's not even a cliche. I do. I talk about it genuinely because I have a garage filled with them, and I love the build. Never mind. So, and I'm always just, yeah. So I guess I am the cliche, Ron. I'm the stock tragic hack. Oh, gosh. Now I am depressed.
Oh, well, no, see, we here are a full service show. We provide you entertainment and therapy.
Oh, thank you. Your 90 minutes is up.
Oh, I do believe we are running out of time, so I had better start the sign up. Thank you again, Barb Nelligan,
thank
for
you.
Coming out and hanging out. Listeners, you have been listening to another installment of Queer Talk Radio. Queer Talk is a Joyce Arnold production. This is Carter Witt. Thank you for tuning in.